Psalm 139, it's going to be the last couple of verses, 23 and 24. And it's really funny how God, he always seems to kind of put things together. Because we're talking about prayer this morning, and we're talking about how powerful prayer is, and we're talking about how powerful things can change when we pray, right? You know, you listen to Carolyn's a testimony there that she forgot to pray for the needle before it went in. Well, that took four times, right? Well, with God, it may have only taken one.
Amen.
Maybe not, but you know, God could change it. I mean, people are still humans, and sometimes we, you know, humans fail, but with the power of prayer and the power of God, you see lots of things change, don't you? Next month, I've asked, but you'll see in her life the power of prayer. But I look out across this congregation. I can see so many different hurts, so many different illnesses that have happened in people's lives. But the power of prayer, not the prayer, is it? It's who you're praying to, right? It's who you're talking to. It's who you're asking for help that has the power. But the prayer is the key. The prayer is the key. But see, there are safe prayers. And if I asked you about your prayer life and what you pray for, most of the time we probably pray pretty safe prayers. Many times you'll hear people say, well, don't pray for patience, because if you do, you're going to get it, right? You're going to get a testing. So we pray patiently, or we kind of go around it. Well, I just need a little bit here, but don't test me too much, right? Or we pray something, and then 10 minutes later, we forget that we prayed it. And then a month later, when God answers it, we forget that we even prayed it. What we're going to look at today, though, it's not a safe prayer. And it's one that if you're willing to take the challenge this morning that I will give you, if you're willing to take that challenge, then I believe without a shadow of a doubt that next week in our testimony time, if you'd be willing to share, that I can guarantee, well, I don't guarantee anything, but I can almost guarantee if you rely on God and you take this challenge, something amazing is going to happen. Something wonderful is going to happen. More importantly, that you're going to grow a little bit closer to God. And isn't that the most important thing? That in our, not in our, in a, just in a daily walk, but in our prayer time, that we're growing closer to God, right? We're not just going, oh God, you know, I've got this illness, please forgive me, or please heal me, or I've done this, please forgive me, and then we forget that we prayed it and we move on with our lives. And nothing changes with us. We have deep prayers. Today we're going to look at a prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. And David prayed this after his enemies and God's enemies were on the attack and accusing David of having wrong motives. And instead of defending himself, he actually prayed a very dangerous prayer before God when he asked God to search his heart. Let's look at Psalms 139, 23 to 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What I want to do is I want to break this down into four different parts. The first thing David says is this. He prays, search my heart. Oh God, and know my heart. Now for some of you, you may look at that and go, now why would we ask God to search our hearts? Because he already knows them, doesn't he? He knows what our hearts are. times he tells us, he knows your thoughts before we even know them, right? So why do I got to ask God to search my heart? What's that all about? Plus, he knows I've got a good heart, right? Actually, we need to understand that without Christ, we do not have a good heart. It's a very common saying, well, she's got a good heart. She's a good person. Actually, she's got a wicked heart. And if you want to be completely accurate, Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. And it is what? It is desperately. We need to understand that without Christ, our heart is not good. We deceive others. We deceive ourselves. And in fact, we become liars. How many of you here this morning are liars? You aren't going to admit it to me, are you? That's what we're going to talk about today. Talk about admitting your sin, but not to me. I mean, you can. That's what I'm here for. But the most important person to admit your sin to is God, right? We talked about that last week. You see, we lie to ourselves a lot. We give ourselves excuses as to why we've done a sin, don't we? Well, it's okay. I had to do it. Somebody talked me into it. I'll only do it this one time. Whatever excuse else we come up with. We lie and we deceive ourselves. Why? Because the heart is deceitful. We really need to be praying the prayer, search my heart, God. Show me what is in there. You see, if we have a Band-Aid on top of everything and it covers up, if I'd have a scratch here and I'd put a Band-Aid, you couldn't see what's underneath it, could you? You just know that there's something there, but you have no idea what it is. Just a topical wound, it could be a pretty deep wound, but you have no idea what's underneath my Band-Aid. You see, a lot of us, we put Band-Aids on things that are in our hearts. We don't want God to deal with them. I don't want to admit it. I don't want to give it over. I don't want to admit to it because then that would mean that I have to do something about it. We deceive ourselves all the time. You see, we don't want to pray that prayer, search my heart, because if we do, then he shows us things that we don't want to see, doesn't he? You see, sometimes he shows us things that we are materialistic. He shows us that we are lustful. He shows us that we are prideful, that we think we're better than others, that we tell ourselves all kinds of lies, and we tell ourselves all kinds of sins are okay. You see, if we are asking God to search our hearts, then that means that we are asking God, tell me what is deceitful in my heart. And when we're asking God to tell us what's deceitful in our heart, you need to be prepared to uncover, take the Band-Aid off, and find out what's underneath. Remember that these are God's words. Don't hate me afterwards. We lie to ourselves, and we deceive ourselves into believing that the things we're doing are okay. In reality, we are just faking it. We are in a church, we read our Bible, or we tell others that we are followers of Christ, but yet when push comes to shove, our Christianity doesn't mean anything. And you may look and say, well, what are you talking about? It doesn't mean anything, it means everything. But if you are not fully trusting and fully relying on God, then what does it mean? I don't understand. If we're faking it, and on Sunday morning we're sitting in a pew, but Monday through Saturday we just do what we want to do, we're in church on Sunday with a coworker or a friend or a family member, and they hear you or they see you doing something that does not line up with the Word of God, because let me tell you, those who are not in church this morning, those who do not believe in Christ, They know the word of Christ. And if they see you doing something that does not line up with the Bible, well, what is she doing? What is he doing? Heart is deceiving not only to ourselves, but to other people. And I know that there are many of you in here who have faltered, and people have said, is that Christ-like? And they don't know Jesus. When Jesus searches our heart, he shows you what bandages you've put on, what things you've tried to cover. He shows you maybe the hatred or the anger or the unforgiveness that you've not forgiven somebody for. Are you prepared for it? Because as I said, if you take my challenge and you pray this prayer to allow God to search your heart and tell you what's wrong, then you don't just go, okay, I see it. What you do is you change whatever it is. You make yourself better. You make yourself more connected to God, and you get rid of what is in your heart that is hurting it. But last week about breaking chains and how if we repent of our sins and we go to God and he will take those chains and he will break them. This is one of those steps in breaking your chains. You have to find what's in your heart that is being deceitful. We need to realize our need for God. He didn't create you because he needs you. He created you because he loves you and he wants you. But you and I, we need him. And I'm not just talking about a daily needance. I'm talking about an every minute needance. Because there's minutes that I can guarantee you if we went around that we wish we could probably get back. There's minutes that we've messed up somewhere along the way and we probably wish we could take those back. David prayed, search my heart, and then he prays, reveal my fears. He says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. How many of you have anxious thoughts? At some point or other, we probably all do, don't we? Maybe you don't have them right now. But if one of your family members goes through something, you probably have some anxious thoughts. You see something on the news that you don't like, you may have some anxious thoughts. Maybe you have some anxious thoughts that you're afraid you're going to lose your job, or for you young ones that you may not get married at a certain age, or you're afraid of failing, or some people are actually afraid of succeeding, or you're afraid of losing something. How many of you are afraid of losing a family member? Why do you think this matters? Why do you think David prayed this, to know my anxious thoughts? Because I want to argue that it's because of this. Because what we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. Did you hear that? What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. So if you're fearful in your job, you're not trusting God with your job. If you're fearful of losing a family member, you're not trusting God to have that family member. If you're fearful of all kinds of things, if you're fearful of the future and you're fearful of the unknown, well, who has the unknown? Who has your future? Do you have it? Who holds tomorrow? I certainly don't know if I'll be here tomorrow. God, if I'm not trusting him with my tomorrow, then guess what? I'm not trusting him with my future. You see, so if we are asking God to know my anxious thoughts and we're saying, test me, that means that we're asking him to point out what our anxious thoughts are. Because half the time, we just write them off as just, well, everybody worries. Everybody has something that we worry about, and that's all it is. But God says, don't be afraid, do not worry, doesn't he? God's word, it does not contradict itself. So in one sense, he does not say, I've got everything, but hey, it's okay, you worry about that. No, he says, I've got everything. Do not fear, do not be afraid, do not worry, give your anxious thoughts to me. But we make excuses for our anxious thoughts. We make a reason why we're worried. We make a reason why we have anxiety. Instead of saying, I've messed up. I've worried for no reason. And I haven't trusted God with that area. You see, if we really pray this prayer, and we really want to know the answer, I can guarantee you that God's going to show you places that you don't fully trust him. Places that you may think that you trust God. Places you may think that you're okay in. But God says, you still got your thumb on it. You don't fully trust me. And now, I was sitting there and I was thinking, most churches probably around the world are probably preaching on some kind of love sermon this morning. And you may have thought this morning coming here, well, she's going to preach on love this morning because Valentine's Day is coming. But isn't trusting God showing him love?
Amen.
Isn't that a part of a marriage too? That we're married to someone, the whole relationship revolves around trust, because if trust is broken, then there's a problem in the marriage. If trust is broken in our relationship with Christ, if we're not fully trusting in him, then there's a broken piece. It doesn't fit together like a puzzle then. There's not harmony. There's something wrong. And we've got to find where that trust issue is, and we've got to fix it. Not with a Band-Aid. We've got to fix it with super glue. We've got to change it. We've got to make it stick. We cannot be driven by fear. We've got to be led by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Oftentimes, our fears keep us from trusting, but they also keep us from being obedient. When Christ tells us to do something in here, but we're afraid of the future, we're afraid of the unknown, we're afraid of what the outcome might be, then guess what? We're not going to be obedient, are we? We're not going to listen to what Christ has told us to do. When our fears overtake us and we are not trusting God to come and meet us where we are, to overtake that fear and say, you know what? You may not think you're good enough. You may not think you can do it. You may be afraid, but guess what? I've got it. I've got you. I've got it, and I'm going to take control. We pray for people on our prayer list. Pray is that they have salvation, because, but it's more than that. Searching your heart, it's searching you and knowing where you stand. Are you just putting a mask on things? Are you making excuses for what you've got? Are you making excuses for your sins and your anxiousness and your anxiety and your fears and all of this? Is your fear holding you back from doing something that God wants you to do? Time to pray. And he says, see if there is any offensive way in me. You see, now if you're really praying this prayer with me this morning, if you're really taking this challenge and you're really praying it, then God is going to reveal something that's offensive in you. Now you may sit there and say, well, I'm pretty good. None of us are good. None of us are in a perfect place, that we are perfect people. And I will tell you that because none of us can ever be perfect. Is any of the TV evangelists that you may watch and may think that they got everything together and they're all good? They don't. Behind the scenes, there's something they're struggling with. Why? Because we all fall short, don't we? That doesn't mean that we stop persevering. That doesn't mean that we stop trying to reach that perfection. That doesn't mean that we make excuses and we allow offensive ways to live within us. I teach the teens, and I know you who have children or grandchildren try to teach them the right way to live. What is the right way to live? Do you know? The right way to live is when we're following the commandments of God. That we are following what Jesus did and what he said to do. When we are following in his footsteps, that's the right way to live. But who are you when you're in church? Who are you when you're with your spouse? Who are you when you're with your children or your grandchildren? Who are you when you're with your coworkers or your friends? Are you different with each person? Because if we are not the same consistent person when we're with each and every person, then there's something wrong. The consistent person that we should be is the Christian that you are this morning. The follower of Jesus Christ that you are this morning. That same person should be Monday through Saturday as well. Here, because you have a love for Jesus. None of you are here out of obligation. None of you have been drugged here this morning. You're here because you love Jesus and you want to learn and you want to know and you want to grow, right? That it doesn't stop at 11:45. It does not stop at noon. It stops whenever your last breath is on this earth. That's when you're stopping from growing. Because guess what? Then you're going to be with the Creator. All kinds of stuff. Maybe Brooke, maybe you can ask him all your answers, all your questions, then you'll get all your answers. All kinds of questions. God'll probably put you in a separate place. But you see, what else does he say in that prayer? If there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See those two words right there? Lead. Means that once God has searched us, the Bible, I liked it, it said investigate us. Once God has searched us, once he has shown us what's wrong with us, once he has pointed out our sins and our anxious thoughts and he has shown us what is wrong or where we need to change or what we need to do, then guess what? We need to pray, lead me. Yes. It's not me leading. It does not say in there, and let me lead. It says, lead me. That means that God needs to be leading you each and every day. It means each and everything that you do, you say, the way you act, what you go, the places that you are with your family, your friends, your coworkers, God needs to be leading each and every day, right? Yeah. God is leading. God is leading. You're changing into the man or woman of Christ that he wants you to be. That was for our teens. There's only two of them here this morning. They need to be focused upon Jesus too. You may think, well, I'm young and I've got lots of time and I've got all kinds of things that I want to do before I really follow Jesus. But we need to be following Jesus from the moment that we know about Jesus. Because the unfortunate part is, God can call you home at any time. We need to make sure that God is leading us. God saying, you follow me. God is in front of us and we're following. He is guiding and directing us. Do you remember last year I had it up on the screen and I talked about Broad Road? And how the broad road had so much activity and there were so many things that could distract you, right? And the narrow road, it just looked so you know, tight and there was just not as much fun stuff along the way. Well, there was more people over the broad road. Why? Because it looks good. Why? Because Satan says it looks good. Mm-hmm. Narrow road is a tough road.
You need to allow God to lead you. That's not ourselves over on the broad road, but we need to find the pathway back over to the narrow road, don't we? And the only way to find that pathway is by looking and believing in Jesus Christ, is by reading your word and making sure that you are on the straight and narrow by following what Jesus tells you. We can't live life like how we want. We've got to allow Jesus to lead us. I got so excited up here. I threw my papers all around. That's excitement to me, because when Jesus is leading, yeah, there's going to be problems. But guess what? He's in front of you taking care of them, isn't he?
Yes.
Even if there's something happens and you have an illness, you have cancer, you've got back problems, eye problems, whatever kind of problems you've got, Jesus is still there and he's still taking care of it, isn't he?
Yes.
He's still leading you along the way to where? To the way everlasting. And when we get there, those eye problems, those back problems, those cancer, those strokes, the other illnesses that you may have, guess what? They're not there.
Yes.
They're not there. Savior is there. We need to allow Jesus to lead us to the way, because guess what? There's only one way. We can't get to heaven on our own. We can't get to heaven by saying, we've got a pretty good heart. We've got to know that our heart is good. We've got to know that there are no band-aids covering something up. We've got to know that there's no excuse covering something up. In a moment, we're going to sing, I'll Fly Away. It's one of my favorite hymns, and I've always told Ryan that when I die, that's the hymn I want played at my funeral. Of course, he tells me I need to tell him. We don't know when we're going to die, but let me tell you that when we sing this song, I'll Fly Away, someday, we're going to fly away from this place. And we're going to fly to heaven. But we can only get to heaven, and we can only fly to heaven if we're following in the footsteps of Jesus. We can only get to heaven if we are allowing Jesus to lead us. We can only get to heaven if we are putting away our excuses. We are putting aside our excuses and we're saying, you know what, God? To search you, allow God to show you this week what maybe you've masked for a while. Allow God to take off those band-aids and show you your wounds. Show you the things that are in your heart that are deceiving you. Hold you and transform you into something that you don't even know you can be. Because God, I want you to take that challenge this week, to really pray this prayer this week. But don't pray it just like any other safe prayer. Don't pray it just because, well, that's something that my pastor told me to pray this week. Really depend on God and really listen to what God is telling you.
Yeah.
And then don't make excuses. Because God shows us stuff, and he's like, and we're like, well, you know, but God. No, don't make excuses. When God shows, change it. Change what God wants you to be this morning. Remember that there's only a broad way and a narrow way. We need to be allowing God to lead us to the way everlasting, which is the narrow. What road are you on this morning? If God came right after church this morning, Jesus opened the clouds and he come rolling in, or if we were in some kind of wreck or something happened today, what road are you walking right now? It's a question only you can answer. But if you're on the broad road, you need to find your way over to the narrow. You need to allow Jesus to lead you there and find yourself on the narrow. Will you stand as we sing our last hymn?